106.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Big fight in Bain Town. Somebody tripped Mary down. And everybody know Mary don't take no mess. She roll until she find a tree. Struggle up on a busted knee. Tuck away her queen size cotton dress. Who did her wrong? She did not know. But somebody start laughing. So Mary starts swinging left and right. Mary just one gal, that's true. But she big enough to be a...
Hello and a pleasant good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Today is Monday, November 6th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. As we have two topics I saw in the news, and I said, Aaron, we need to hash this out. We need to hash this out because I have a little bitter taste in my mouth. And I said, perhaps the listening audience can contribute and convince me otherwise. One of the concerns I have is Saturday. There was a big fire. Mm-hmm. A big fire in the shanty town that was proposed. It's off Joe Farton. No, it's not Joe Farton. What is that area? Cool Acres. Because I just found out there's a shanty town in that area, by the way. I didn't know there were shanty towns.
That's in the southeast.
That's southeast?
It's southeast because I was at on Top Road, Bay Street, Harbor Bay Plaza, when we pulled up and we could see the fire.
Yeah, it was a big fire.
Yeah. We could see the fire from where we were. So it looked like southeast.
Cool Acres, beyond Fox Hill Prison.
Yeah.
That's where it was, right? And on social media, there was a debate on what happened. And when I say the debate got me uneasy because I didn't like the narrative of it. But I said I need to share that conversation because there were Bahamians who were casting aspersions, blame, as to what may have happened. One narrative, many Bahamians, large majority on social media, were saying that the persons living in the shanty town started their own fire. They started their own fire to push the government's hand. It didn't make no sense to me that we'll have that sympathy and say they cannot move at all. And serious-minded, educated, sensible-looking Bahamians push that agenda and say, yes, that they start that fire so government will not have them move. The next narrative I saw was from I assume residents or the immigrant population who said, no, more likely government officials started the fire. And I shake my head at that and say, everyone with these conspiracy theories, he said, to make things easier, to force them to move. Right, you had no choice because there was a kickback, pushback by certain people complaining that they need more time. They need more time to move. Now, with it burned down, they ran out of time. Today, in the news, the officials are saying that the vast majority of houses that was destroyed by fire were empty. They were empty because the people them got notice. They decided to move. And some strange circumstances, those particular empty houses, the majority of them, caught fire. Mm-hmm. But I'm just uneasy by this entire thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is that way. But let me read from the article I found yesterday from the Guardian. Fire rips through Cool Acres shanty town. There's also a story on the front of today's Nassau Guardian. Fire rips through Cool Acres shanty town. A fire ripped through the shanty town Saturday afternoon, destroying roughly 80% of the structures in that community, according to the Ministry of Works Building Control Officer Craig Delancey. Delancey, who's a part of the government's Unregulated Communities Action Task Force, said the majority of the destroyed homes were marked for demolition and had already been evacuated. And I think Mr. Nuri, that kind of dispels the former, the first speculation, right? The first conspiracy offered online. Again, Craig DeLancey, the Ministry of Works Building Control Officer, said the majority of the destroyed homes were marked for demolition and had already been evacuated, right? And so the idea that residents, migrant residents, would have burnt down the structure to buy themselves more time seems unreasonable because the majority of them had already been evacuated. The second point is this, is that the fire itself would have rendered the area unlivable, right? So even if people hadn't already evacuated, they can't return to the spot, right? And the people who didn't evacuate, they still have to evacuate now because it is unhealthy. It's unsafe health-wise. They can't live in the remains of the fire. The whole area now needs to be bulldozed and sanitized and cleaned. They have to go through, make sure that there were no bodies, nobody died in the fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if animals died in the fire, they have to go through and sanitize the area. So that first theory seems unfounded. I'm not going to bother with the second theory. But then, again, a whole bunch of questions come up. For instance, the residents who did not, remove the structures themselves would have to pay for the cost of demolition, right? So what happens now that there's been this fire? Who is responsible for the cost of demolition of the homes? Who's responsible for the cost of demolition of the homes that were not evacuated?
Mm-hmm.
And who is responsible for the demolition of the homes that were not destroyed by the fire? Right? It's just some questions that pop up. Who's now responsible for demolition and removal of debris from the site?
I think demolition should have started today.
Yeah.
Right? But I assume that with all of the debris from the fire, those houses, the dwelling places that was not destroyed, can be placed on pause as we remove the debris.
Yeah.
Right? Which will give them time now to move. You still have them move.
Yeah.
You know, you're not saying that they can't move, but you give them an extension and say, hey, as we move this debris, you're prepared to leave.
Yeah. Right? You should be removing your items, furniture, goods, personal items from the structures as we work in.
Was there any plans for the site post removal?
I don't think I've not read any indication of what the site may be used for post the demolition.
Now, I'm all for the removal of all shanty towns in the Bahamas. I think they're an environmental problem. I think it's a social problem. It's contemptuous in general. But the idea that you're moving people without a proper narrative of what you plan to do with the lot, you just don't bulldoze and say, look at the lot, we're going to grow grass next.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There should be a subsequent plan. We plan to build houses here in the next 2 or 3 years. We plan to put a strip mall, a shopping mall, in the next 2 or 3, mm-hmm. a school, in the next
if it's agricultural land, right? If they gain access because it's agricultural land.
No, this isn't a main road. This is, if you put your cool acres, there's shanty towns there, and then houses.
But what is that? See, this is the thing. What is the area zoned for? See, it's similar to the Adelaide story, right? Because Adelaide is, it's a mixed zoning,
mm-hmm.
right? It's agricultural and residential, right? I think the complaint, remember with the swimming pig excursion?
Mm-hmm.
The complaint was that this is not zoned for commercial activity.
Mm.
Right? And so in the same vein, in that area, southeast, South Fox Hill Road area, was that land zoned agricultural, semi-agricultural, and is that how the people ended up there? What, are these people who had found land close to where they were working mm-hmm. and were allowed to build structures, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot to ask because just because there's a whole bunch of houses there now doesn't mean that the land is still not zoned partially agriculture.
I see we have a caller there. Aaron, press those buttons there and see if we can get that caller mm-hmm. on. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, go in once. Caller, go in twice. Press again, Aaron, and see what happens. Caller, can you hear me? We're going to the next language, put that one. Caller, can you hear me?
You can hear me?
I can hear you now.
No, not now. That's my first time, buddy.
Okay. Blessings. Go ahead.
Good morning, Miss Green. Papa, how you doing?
Morning, sir. Good, good.
Okay. So the question is, how do you put it? I know people, when people hear you talking, they think, well, you really don't care about your brother, man. But we're talking about breaking the law now. Because not mm-hmm. that we want to break the law, no. We were told that it don't make no sense. It makes sense to abide by the law.
Mm-hmm.
And before I forget, what I think should be going on this morning, I wish y'all had one connection with y'all or communication where y'all could have called one of Luby them or someone down there by the shantytown to find out live what's going on. I don't know if Mr. Newry gave one of their numbers, but that would have been good. Because I believe the government should still be, the set with you all, I think they say about 80% was burned down and 20% still standing.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't worrying about all the furniture and all of them things, and because they was told the people passed around their side, they drew around 11, they reported on the news, and they was checking to see and letting them know that they come in Monday. But knock down them 20%. They said what burned. We need an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Find out maybe the CIA, if we could figure it out, although it mightn't really matter, to find out how the fire start. But mm-hmm. them 20% what there if the government was serious. I mean, we don't deal with the courts and everything. We've been talking for over 50 years to these people then. And like I said, ain't a Haitian thing or nothing like that. There's some behemoths there too who have started here. I was telling Dwight, must be Monday or something, last week we was talking, what I think's going on, because anything is possible. That's why I could have started by accident. Someone mm-hmm. could have lighted a cigarette and misinterpreted it down. Anything could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But my view is what I think from talking with the people and dealing with the situation over the years, that a lot of those places, and they ain't just Haitians. Some of them is behemoth, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're lawless. Just like some are so chill lawless, but them said, they don't obey the laws of the land. We got to get license to sell food. We got to have running water. But they think it's okay for them to don't have running water and sell food and do all kind of things, and they don't need no license. And they know disease and stuff. They don't care. It's like, it seems like for talking to them over the years, it's like they don't care. They don't care what happened, if disease going around or whatsoever. Now, like I say, anything could have started the fire. But what I believe, really, so lawless, but the government say if they go when they go knock them down today, Monday,
mm-hmm.
the 6th, that they was going to have to pay for it, or the owners got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Not to show you. They tell you in so many words. But I believe it's a big possibility that, like I say, anything could happen. But my little opinion, or I have a strong feeling from the way they was getting on with this, they ain't get nowhere to go. Like, you can't make them move and all of that. I mean, like, they can't find them. They get family members all over the world. I mean, us behemoths, when we go through struggles, we got to go and we got to do things and what we don't even want to. Come on, man, I know you don't want maybe go to your farm, but, man, come on, you can't be breaking the laws them blatantly just like that. I think they're lawless people, a lot of them, and they ain't just Haitians, behemoths there too. The government need to knock down them 20% what they're, and then do a little investigation, find out about the fire. They supposed to then have trucks contracted to move them things, man, and knock them down, enforce the law.
Okay.
Send a message to the rest of the behemoths that you gotta obey by the laws of the land. You can't sell food without running water in a bathroom. Sorry.
Thank you. You know, Papa, I appreciate what you're saying. I absolutely appreciate what you're saying. I don't think you've said anything offensive or terribly wrong. But while you were speaking, I was thinking of all of the other instances where the very same thing that you describe take place throughout the Bahamas, throughout New Providence in particular. The shanty construction, the doing things without permits and approvals. And What I see, the only distinction I see between this particular group of people you addressing and those other people that pop into my mind is a lack of money. That's the only distinction, because there's a whole bunch of people doing the same thing that you're describing all throughout New Providence, but they have money to solve the problems with.
I see we have another call, but before we go to the next one, Aaron, another thing that surprised me, that shocked me, that has me in alarm, that has me shocked, that has me concerned, is over the weekend, we had a robbery. $1 million went missing.
Hold on, how you could say $1 million went missing?
It's $1 million.
I didn't see that anywhere.
It's $1 million.
I didn't see that anywhere.
You see it?
No.
So let me set the conversation up, and I want the callers to listen to me right now. I heard that a bank, an armored car company, was robbed of $1 million plus. And Aaron can dispute that and say she didn't read it anyplace. But my point is, how come that isn't the major story in every newspaper? Not every day $1 million goes missing.
Hold on. First of all, I have seen one story, but it mentions nothing about $1 million. In fact, it don't mention anything about an armored car company.
How much money they say gone missing?
They didn't indicate how much money.
You mean we had a major robbery and we don't know how much money gone missing, even though the public is saying $1 million? Did they at least give the name of the armored car company?
No. See, I heard some of the things you say you heard, but I didn't read any of the things that you said you read. Let me tell you what I read.
You mean no newspaper, no media outlet asks how or where the money gone missing? Where the money gone missing?
I don't know, but let me tell you what I found.
What right? do you know?
I tell you what I do know. I do know that the Central Bank of the Bahamas issued a public notice on Saturday. And this is what the public notice reads. Public notice, stolen banknotes, alert Crisp Evolution, Bahamian $10 and Bahamian $20. This statement was issued on the 4th of November. The Central Bank of the Bahamas advises the public that as a result of an armored car robbery that took place on Thursday, the 2nd of November, 2023.
So it was an armored car that was robbed. I hear it's a personal car, but you say it's an armored car robbery happened. Which armored car company?
The notice does not say. Let me read the whole notice.
Go ahead.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas advises the public that as a result of an armored car robbery that took place on Thursday, the 2nd of November, 2023, bundles of Crisp Evolution CE, B, Bahamian $10, and Bahamian $20 banknotes were stolen and may be in use. Members of the public are urged to be vigilant and on the lookout for these notes as follows. Crisp Evolution $20 Bahamian banknotes, 2018 series, serial number range N760001 to N765,000
and that's $10 bill. How much is that? That's 5,000 times. We can work that money out. How much that money that is? That's $5,000 a bill. 5,000 bills, and they're $10 bills. You add 10 to that. That's $50,000. See, I can add quickly.
Minus the 10.
Minus $499,090.
Right.
Something.
That's the $20 banknotes actually.
So double it. I got to double that. That's
$100,000. The Bahamian $10 banknotes, 2022 series, non-sequential serial numbers. The full list of numbers has been provided to authorities and commercial banks.
So they didn't give the listing of that?
If you believe you have stolen banknotes in your possession or suspect any suspicious activity related to these notes, please contact the Commercial Crime Unit of the Criminal Investigation Department, Royal Bahamas Police Force. This actually was posted on the 3rd of November.
So they didn't give you the total amount, even though they could work out the total amount?
Well, you could work out the total number of amount of $20 bills, but not the $10 bills.
Let's go to the callers. I know we had them on hold for a while, so let's go through them right now. Go ahead, first caller there, caller, producer. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me? Call Gern once.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir.
Well, this is my first time calling in. I'd like to say hi to my namesake, Aaron Green, and I love your show.
Welcome.
But I have a complaint. No mention has been made of Lincoln Bean or the COI and his nomination this morning.
We didn't mention nobody getting nominated this morning.
Yeah, but it is news.
That nobody... go ahead.
And it is newsworthy.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I don't know. The Guardian doesn't seem... I listen to you all from morning to night, except for when the Haitian program come on. And I don't hear any mention of COI.
So let me do this. I'm willing to invite any COI onto the show. You can call and speak to April.
Right.
And
and find out the details. Find out what you have to do to get on.
Yeah. Call and speak to April. She's my handler.
You have a responsibility to invite them or to have them on if you're going to have other political parties on.
I had nobody on. You say you want COI. Just have them call
you. No, but I'm saying that if you're going to have other people on, then you, for being fair and balanced, you have to bring them on too. I mean, you know.
I agree with you. Then I now make another request. Anyone who wants to come on the show regarding this elections, by-election, can call April and say, April, I want to come on C.A. Nuri show.
Okay, sir. Well, I mean, I appreciate it. I'm just saying, he's making big waves. It cannot be denied.
Tsunamis make big waves too, sir.
I don't like tsunamis.
Here's my next thing. How come we can't talk about the COI without talking about Lincoln Bean? I think more people would talk about the COI if we weren't forced to have to talk about Lincoln Bean. At the same time, it almost makes me feel like the Coalition of Independents is a ruse because nobody could speak independently. Only the leader.
Ma'am, he is articulate and he has charisma and all of these things. So,
but he can't run in 39 seats.
No, ma'am, but people have gotten in on the FNM ticket and on the PLP ticket because of these charismatic personalities at the forefront.
That's okay. I don't like them either.
So my invitation is open. If Lincoln Bean or any other candidate wishes to speak with their campaign, call April. And say, April, I want to come on C.A. Nuri show. And if you call for Wednesday, we get two shows. That's good.
Appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much. I mean, I'm not a COI supporter.
Of course not.
I know people in the party and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
But you ain't called none of their names. See what I'm saying? No, don't call them now. Don't call them now. But what I'm saying is... Right? Like...
Yes, ma'am.
Because if he's a PLP supporter, he's going to call a PLP name.
Don't watch that. Don't follow the madness, sir. Just encourage them to contact the station and book a show.
Book a show.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go to the next caller.
I appreciate it. I believe in you people. I believe in you, and I believe in Tracy Strongson. I believe in C.A. Nuri.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You people are great. Thank you.
Pleasure. Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller girl.
Caller girl.
Go ahead, caller. Turn on your radio.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello.
You here? You on?
It's Nuri.
Yes. How are you doing?
It's Glenn Spock here.
Yes, sir.
Now, I can really understand why that fella said it's the first time he ever called the dog Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Because he don't make no sense at all.
No, man.
Can I say that without...
No, man. No,
anyway, Ms. Green, let's go. I back it up on proper comment. You know, we have a constitution in this country that we live by.
Mm-hmm.
We have laws in this country that we fight so much to try to get them enforced.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't live by the laws, and we don't live by the constitution. But we declare ourselves a Christian nation, and one of the most beautiful little country in the Western Hemisphere, and the third leading economy next to America and Canada in the Western Hemisphere. And yet we keep doing this thing over and over, like Papa say, talking about this. For over 50 years now, we just celebrated our 50th anniversary. And there's nothing against no black people, against no Haitians, Cubans, Jamaicans, or nothing. But we have laws of the land. You're going to come into my country illegally. You're going to infiltrate my country, fill up my country with illegal children, fill up my
Say illegal children.
There's no such thing as illegal children.
Say illegal
but
children.
You brought something to mind, Sparky, because you, Spark, thought. Remember the Robinson Crusoe family?
Yes.
Who were, quote unquote, stuck in the Bahamas during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and they had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so they documented themselves.
Yes.
Flaunting and breaching every COVID protocol we had.
And fishing.
And sparing crawfish in the close season.
Yeah.
Because they was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
They was going to die in the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the Bahamian archipelago. No place to find land. No place to feed themselves. They had to break every rule. And you know what happened to them? They became viral sensations.
Yes.
They became viral sensations after flaunting and breaching almost every law in the Bahamas. Good morning, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
Go ahead, caller.
Don't let the voice fool you. You're on with C.A. Nuri.
Let's go to the next one. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Ms. Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir.
Ma, they had on the denomination live on the radio this morning. That mm-hmm. gentleman, I don't know where he lived. Everybody interviewed everybody. Tatar, Tatid, Boris, what's your name?
Tatar.
Lincoln being and the two candidates. But what I'm calling you for, Mr. Nuri said something earlier that kind of sparked me.
Mm-hmm.
He said the 80% of the houses were done burned down. You can leave the other ones up until, give them some more time.
Mm-hmm.
No, you break all them down so you can clean up the place one time. You don't got to go and come back. Every time you move, that's gas you got to burn in them trucks. Break down all them one time and pull all them trash together and make one load one time. It makes no sense again coming back.
It could be several loads, man.
Yeah, but they still, you can, I'm sure if you go a couple of days ago, you can stretch it. But another thing, too, I understand they're human beings. I understand.
Yes, sir.
And I feel for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody break in my house and get cut with my window breaking through in my house,
mm-hmm.
I'm responsible for paying for the doctor for that?
No.
And they break in my house?
No.
Okay, that's the same thing then.
I got you.
Think about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
See, here's, I appreciate that analogy because you're right. You're right. Here's what I want to bring to our attention. We have to have a commission of inquiry because we have to determine how the people got here. Like, because you're saying if they broke in, they broke the glass, bang. What if you invited them into your house? Say to work.
To work.
And then you run hard the contract, you run hard and decide you end in the contract, right? Or whatever. You bring them into work. And something happens after you invite them in to work, right? That's what I'm saying. What if your son invited the young lady into the house late at night? And you get up because you hear a noise in your house late at night. And you don't know anybody in your house but you and your son. And you see this frame, this silhouette in the darkness, and you throw a water bottle at it, and you bust the woman in her head. You didn't know that she was supposed to be there, but it turns out she was an invited guest of one of your tenants. You see what I'm saying? Things could get complicated.
I don't know where you find these analogies from. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, producer Patrick, call her through. Go ahead, caller.
Because, I mean, you invited a waker. We know that a lot of these migrants are here because at some point, they or one of their ancestors was invited to come to the Bahamas to wake. What happens after that? That's what we have to interrogate because then it doesn't apply. They cut themselves now. You may have some degree of responsibility.
Commission inquiry. Let's go to the next caller there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning there.
You know, Aaron, the last part of your analogy is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because I know 99% of them, well, I won't say 99, I say 90% of them, didn't come here on the owner's invitation or the owner's son invitation.
I got you.
They come on hand-me-down invitation.
I got you.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But the fire, you know, what come to mind, I didn't hear nobody talk about is, like you guys were saying, that owners of those homes were going to be made to pay to have them demolished, right?
Mm-hmm.
We thought about the owner who might have, you know, didn't want to pay, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of way. That's what came to mind, because I don't believe that the persons living there would have burnt those down unless the intention was to burn one or two down and the fire just got out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Outside of that, it could possibly be, because, you know, like Bay Street, you can't burn that down on Bay Street, so you got to pay, or, you know, one way or the other. However, in the back there, any backup goes. That's sad to say, because there are people's lives, babies and children. You can imagine the screaming and the crying going on in the back there when that happened. That was not a good scene. I could imagine.
Just traumatic, traumatizing.
Yes,
heavy.
It is.
Heavy crisis sitting on your chest and you don't know where.
Thank
to
you very
it.
Much, caller.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next caller, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call Grand Ones. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. How you doing?
Turn on your radio. I'm doing well.
Yes. I have a problem, you know, and a very serious problem is that some of us are complaining about knocking down those homes.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we complaining about the living conditions these people are living in?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in this country, I don't care who you are, if you come here legally, illegally, no matter if you come from space, you should not be living in those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go rent an apartment, pay your light bill, pay your water bill, pay your phone bill. I have a problem with that. And I believe that the government should have been dealt with the situation long time. But the playground or some of the people who own those properties are friendly with this government or that person, and we don't persecute them to the full extent of the law.
Mm-hmm. See, because they can...
belongs to a Bohemian.
They can... See, they could, that landowner can offer affordable, up-to-code housing inventory to documented migrants and Bohemians. Right? They could do that.
Yes.
But they don't want to.
So why aren't we putting laws in place that nobody, I don't care how you come here, you come here legal or illegally, should not be living in those conditions, man. The UN should come down here and pass sanction on us for us allowing them to live like that.
Yep.
I have a problem with that. I say knock every doggone one down. Go rent an apartment, and we need to have proper land. We need to have a court for landlords and tenants.
Now, I with you. We need proper land reform, proper land regulations, and mechanisms to manage the landlord-tenant relationship, both commercial and residential and agricultural. But let me stick a pin and complicate it a little bit.
No problem.
So a couple of things. There's a story in last week's paper where the governor of the central bank says that only a third of mortgage applications were approved in the specified period, right? And then we see in the paper and in the anecdotal commentary around this particular issue where people are indicating that they want better living conditions, but they are unavailable. So A, they have the money, but the landlord is telling them you can only have two or less children in this unit. You can't have three or more children in this unit, right? There's just no housing available. Some people are saying that when they hear the Creole, the Haitian accent, that they just say, there's no rent, you know, there's no room available, there's no space available, sorry, the unit's already taken. We know that we have a housing crisis, and we know that it doesn't appear as if people are interested in providing affordable housing options for Bahamians. And I will reference the story I did in my hour about the Windsor Lake project that was supposed to be for middle and upper middle class people, but now the lots are starting at $195,000 and homes at $895,000. Is it that they don't want to pay the money to live somewhere else, or is it that there is no inventory? There's no units available for them.
There is units available for them. Let me give you this. Years ago, I was the manager of a particular restaurant. We had at least about six Haitians working for us,
mm-hmm.
doing cleaning and all that sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those who work in the night, me being the manager, I really concern them because I have family who are Haitians, okay? And I love them to death. And they treat me like a king. I swear that they do. When I go to Miami, they pick me up from the airport. My room is full with fruits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I get treated royalty when I go visit them. And I told, when I see where I was dropping my workers, I told them, I said, guys, you don't have to live like this, you know. Let me go find yourself a partner where you could have running water, light. You know what I mean? No, daddy. No. They ain't doing that.
Yeah.
So you see, it isn't that they don't have a limited accommodation. They refuse to do it. And I'm telling you this, they refuse to do it. And I can go into more details because I was involved with a church.
So
I'm not going to go into more
details. Yeah.
They choose to live like that. I know one couple, me being the type of person I am, I had to force, me and my partner had to force a few of them to live, and they're thanking us today that we
forced them.
Changed their mind of the way they should be living.
Thank you very much. Thank you, caller. And there's a story coming out of Florida where a Bahamian was caught up in a similar situation, right? They were renting a bunk in a garage that had been turned into a live space. And unfortunately, because they couldn't control the people in their living environment, they were caught up in some activity. But I appreciate this. It's a whole sort of cultural economic mindset that the most important thing is to save the money to share with others. But let's go to the next caller.
Yes, because I still want to hash out how come there isn't a series of news about this armored car robbery.
Yeah.
No specific information on how many hush money
was going. We don't know where the robbery took place.
Where the robbery took place.
What time of day it took place.
How it took place.
Right. No details.
How, was he robbed by gunpoint? He had three people?
Because, right.
Armored car comes with three people.
Right. And then to get back into it, I get some more questions. So I read the notice. What's expected of me, the average citizen here? You're reading this notice, it's my job to turn in all the money. I just want to flesh that out a little bit, but let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
That's the point, Mom. I tell you, you come to the front of the class because you're smart like that. That's it. The word you used the other day, problematic or complicated. That's mm-hmm. what it is. First of all, this money shit, the 10s and 20s and the so-called million, what loss or whatsoever.
When you're here, it's $1 million? Okay.
Yeah, it should be insured. So if I sell my car to somebody and for one, $10,000 and some of that is that money or whatever, the insurance for the central bank or whosoever lose the money, they still getting the money. Like I say, it's problematic, complicated. It's not my job. It's the police job to go and do that. Some people don't read the papers and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. this is the important part, Mrs. Green. Tell me something. Some people say, listen, a lot of us are tired of the PLP and the FNM. We really want to make a difference. Some people say, start your own party. We ain't get time for that. Now, Fred Mitchell, the chairman of the PLP, is called Lincoln Bain and COI them. Idiots or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Some are so chill. We consider when we hear some of the things what they say, not to say they come across liars or they don't miss not the truth, right? But they come across a little crazy, right? But I swear to God, God forgive me for swearing, please.
Yeah.
Some people say, you'll vote for a dog, or if you put on a certain shirt. We're really tired of the PLP and the FNM. It's like this make a mockery. You see the games what they be playing with the Bahamian people and can all this day thanks them, where they supposed to be serving. So I ask you as an educated person, just like how you say it ain't our job to deal with the 10s and the 20s and the millions, right? Is mm-hmm. it okay to vote for the crazy then? We tired of the PLP and the FNM.
I'm
really tired.
I tell people,
we won't go on the beach and we won't stay home and don't work. We won't work. We won't deal with the PLP and the FNM. Should we still vote? Should we go ahead and vote for the COI and the crazy?
Listen. I got you. But your vote is a right, but with the right comes a grand responsibility. And I say, if you vote for a party, then you also obligated to support that party, right? So I say, if you won't vote for them, vote for them. But know that your party needs you more than you need your party. And with that obligation, you got to step up and help your party, the people you vote for, become the party that you need them to be for you and for others.
Yes, this is being Guided Reading AM with C.A. Nuri. When we come back, I'm going to investigate the stacks. Apparently, it's a stack of 10s and a stack of 20s, or several stacks of 10s or 20s, right? So did this come from a bank, or was this a deposit from various businesses? Because they don't have a series of bank notes. So I'm assuming that this armored car came directly from a bank and they were going to deposit it someplace. It just seems odd. And that's why I'm interrogating. Because this should be in the news, the front page, and we should be analyzing what exactly happened. And definitely interviewing the Amakar company, and they explained to me.
I rest assured none of my money was stolen because...
You didn't get no money.
I just saying the bank should call me if any of my 10s, I know I got 10s and 20s, that's about it.
But you wouldn't
if any of my 10s or 20s
involved
in that, they can call me and tell me, start looking for your money because we don't know where it is.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take a small commercial break. We'll be right back.
He blowy whistle just for pride.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Big fight in Bain Town. Somebody tripped Mary down. And everybody know Mary don't take no mess. She roll until she find a tree. Struggle up on a busted knee. Tuck away her queen.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, Aaron Green is with me as we analyze two major topics today. We're analyzing the horrendous, terrific fire that happened in the southeastern Bahamas, off Foxhill someplace. This was the area that was pegged to be demolished. And of course, we're analyzing what is the next move by government. Also, we're interrogating this bank robbery. No, it's not a bank robbery. Why are you calling it a bank robbery? This Amakar robbery.
Yeah.
And the lack of details regarding it. And I was asking Aaron during the break, and I see the call. I'm going to pass you through right now. I was asking Aaron during the break, if I'm caught with one of these $10 bills, no, not one, because when I get my money, I get it like at least in hundreds, right? And several of these $10 or $20 bills.
Yeah.
I don't check numbers, right? I don't even know none of the dollars have serial numbers on it.
Yeah.
If I go and pay, say I go into a number house and buy one number for $20 to try win that big jackpot, right? And they call the police and say, I get one. The dark guy right. with the glasses had it. Do they lock me up to say where you get it from? I get it from Super Value.
Right. What's our obligation? What's expected from us? And what does it mean, right, when you say members of the public are urged to be vigilant and on the lookout for these notes as follows? $20 banknotes from the Crisp Evolution, that's a new series, serial number range N760001 to N765000. What's expected of me, the average citizen, member of the public, and what's expected of me as a business person or a cashier, right? A business is going to post a notice at each, like the food store, you're going to post a notice at each register. Is the cashier going to go through each bill and run it off against the series, right? And that's only for the
20s. That's only for
20s. Because I can't identify the $10 bill. And so how am I supposed to be how am I supposed to reasonably suspect that I may be in possession of one of these stolen notes, and then what am I supposed to do? Because that's the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't saying that I don't trust my government, but I don't trust my mummy. And if I give her money, I may not get it back, right? Am I going to have my $10 exchanged for a non-stolen $10 bill?
Or they take it up for evidence and say, well, we got to confiscate this.
And then we got to write a report, and then we got to call you back, and we got to let you know that you've been cleared, and we don't suspect that you are part of whatever little robbery ring, whatever. You ain't the person who break into the armored car. Right? Like, and then do I get a reward?
And my question is, because the stack of $20 bills, the 5,000 individual notes, were in sequential order, right? Do we, can we assume that that money came from bank because it's still in the sequential order?
Right.
And why not give us how much tens? If it comes from the bank, there should be also a stack, right?
But it says non-sequential serial numbers.
For tens. So that's why they couldn't
give it. So they say they have the full list. So the authorities know the bills, right? So if my bank, if I deposit some cash into the bank, and the bank determines that one of those bills is from the stolen batch, what happens? Do you freeze my whole account until you conduct an investigation? I just, tell us what's expected of us. Tell us what's required of us by law. And then tell us what reasonable steps will be taken to weed this money out. Because can businesses stand the delay of the cashier checking every bill and then the customer checking every bill on the way out? Right? How reasonable is this? And more importantly, what's expected of us? And then thirdly, does your notice have sufficient information for me, the average citizen, to be able to make a reasonable determination of whether I am wittingly or unwittingly involved in some criminal enterprise? What if I'm just getting paid? What am I just getting paid?
Let's get to the callers, Aaron. Producer Patrick, caller for me through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, Mr. Nui, you always, anyhow, listen to me. Thank God for social media and technology, which is a two-edged sword, right? The word on the streets, you know, the people know more on you. I thank God for social media, but as a matter of fact, as it relates to the incident you're talking about, but the 1.4 million, right? This is not the only thing that's not in the news. You can look and see even during the pandemic, right? The news is designed to shape people's minds and influence their external reality. I just want to make a quick comment on the shanty towns, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And so the gentleman who called and highlighted the fact that he had to force his workers to live in reasonable conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and the gentleman who called and said nobody was talking about the conditions they live in. You know, he must realize that he don't listen to the radio all the time, every day, and nobody says everything every time he speaks. But people like I have been talking about the potential health hazard that these communities induce, and they have induced. Because you don't have the Freedom of the Information Act, so I can subsequently go and see the effects of groundwater, et cetera, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even all of our anthropogenic activity, there's nothing available here in this country. So, you know, just have an open mind sometimes when you speak. But the thing is, you know, I'm all for cosmopolitan city and environment, but let's all live together and be like one. So there's an environment of hate. I've never heard the media lambast it or focus on the hate speeches that these migrants are making. The other day was the guy, but if you break down the shanty town, it's more of us than them, and they'll do this and do that. Man, what type of BS is this? Are we cowards? Are you a coward, Mr. Nui?
That's passionate. No, I ain't really no coward, no, but I scared a gun. I scared a gun bad. No, Aaron, I scared a gun. You ever see a gun put on you? Never, you ever had a gun put on you?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I had one gun put on me one time for talking to this girl, and I said, never again. I can talk to girls who look good near the pump.
I scared of people who wield guns recklessly.
You mean you scared of everyone then? Let's go to the next caller, dear. Producer Pastor, call it through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Okay. Good afternoon. Good morning. I didn't really want to talk about gun because...
Well, we ain't talking about it. We just don't talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, don't talk about that because last time I was on a show did that, we had problems.
Yep.
Anyway, we did not talk shows. You know, it's really sad what's going on in the country, Aaron and CA. We're focusing on things that matter, but they don't matter as much to some of the things we're not focusing on. And every day...
Speed it up. We have 30 seconds.
30 seconds left. He's just going to start on us, Graham.
So let me kill this one quick. You watching the price of gas?
Oh, yeah.
That can change your food, and that can change the cost of everything in your life. You see, they say the shipping going up or whatever in the paper today.
Yeah.
From your staples. That means corn, beef, and things will be a little expensive this Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a show on that, Aaron.
On how to approach the holiday season. Mr. Newry, we are all out of time. It's been a great show.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me sit in.
Of course.
On your hour, the Cool Acres Shantytown Fire and the Central Bank of the Bahamas public notice on stolen bank notes.
Tomorrow's another day.
Absolutely.
Anyway, good afternoon, Bahamas. Howard Grant is next. On the rip.
The Foundation with Howard Grant is up next.
Just one gal, that's true, but she big enough to be a zoo, and it's a